Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, folks. Good day, good day. Hello, hello. I am just firing everything up. So, sorry about the delay here. It is Monday, October 5th, 2020. And this is news to me. I'll be your host here for the next 30 minutes or so. Well, exactly 30 minutes, because after I come back, after I'm done, it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. My sound sounds funny. Can you guys hear me in comm? Oops. Weird. Sorry. Hey. There it is. The volume button has to be depressed. Anyway, this is going to be a fun show today. Not nearly as much death, just a lot of sickness. So maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. Maybe. Boop. All right. So as usual, it's the beginning of the show. So that means it's time for
world news.
Yep. Oh yeah. Oh, fantastic. Thank you, X1. All right. So first up, news from France. 4 dead in southern France flooding. Up to 18 missing. So this is coming from Reuters. 4 people have died and up to 18 more are missing in floods and heavy rain in southeastern France, local authorities said on Monday. Over the weekend, South France was lashed by torrential rain and swollen rivers have swept many away houses, bridges, and parts of roads. A spokeswoman for the Alpes Maritime Prefecture told Reuters that 8 people were missing and about 10 more may be missing, but she gave no further details. Authorities cannot give a more precise estimate for the death toll from the flooding as emergency services struggle to reach flood-hit villages. And as many roads have been washed away or are still blocked by debris. So this will be interesting. Metro France registered rainfall of 500 millimeters, which is 19.69 inches of rain over 24 hours in Saint-Martin-Vesubie on Saturday, and close to 400 millimeters in several other towns, the equivalent of more than 3 months of rain at this time of year. French Daily OUEST, I guess that's West France, on Monday reported that 3 bodies had been found, where one had been discovered earlier, one in Lentosc and one in Colomars. So, it's pretty sad. Huzzah. Thank you. So, that's some sad news coming out of France. We've got more sad news coming out of the UK and Europe in general. Greetings, Harry Larry's in comm. Welcome. SMJ and X12, it's an adventure. You can join in just by typing COM at the command prompt, hitting enter, you'll join the chat program that's super popular on SDF. Just press G for go, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You will end up in the chat room. And you'll get to hang out with Ratsu, too. And Rudy. Rudy's in the house, too. So, it's a lot of fun. Now, something to mention, because I'm, if nothing, inspired by Tobe. Oh, this is so good. I have some tea. I'm going to attempt to pour it close enough to the microphone for you to hear it. I don't think you can hear it. But this is the sound of Dahong Pao going into my cup. Oh, it's so good. It's delicious. Okay. Well, let's get going. sorry. Little tea break. All right. UK trial to begin for 4 suspects in Vietnamese migrant truck tragedy. So, 4 men are due to go on trial in Britain on Monday in connection with the deaths of 39 Vietnamese migrants whose bodies were found in a lorry in southeast England. The grim discovery of 31 men and 8 women inside the container truck on an industrial estate east of London last year threw fresh light on the plight of migrants desperate to reach Britain. A post-mortem examination found the victims, 10 of them teenagers, including 2 15-year-old boys, died from lack of oxygen and overheating in the refrigerated lorry. Harry Larry is a funny guy. So 7 people were jailed in Vietnam last month for their role in the tragedy. The 4 men on trial at the Old Bailey Court in central London from Monday face a range of charges from manslaughter to conspiracy to commit unlawful immigration. They do not include the 25-year-old driver of the lorry, Maurice Robinson of Northern Ireland. He drove the truck onto a ferry from the Belgian port of Zeebrugge? Z-E-E-B-R-U-G-E. It's very interesting. Here, let's type it out. Oh, man! Lots of people jumping in. Tobe, greeting. Mohammed Asalah, one. Welcome. Thanks for joining into the comm. So, Robinson admitted 39 counts of manslaughter and one of conspiracy to commit unlawful immigration at an April hearing. Meanwhile, another man, 40-year-old Ronan Hughes, also from Northern Ireland, pleaded guilty to the same charges at a hearing on August 28th. At an extradition hearing in Dublin on May 15th, he was described as the ringleader of human trafficking operation. Both men will be sentenced at a later date. So you can find out more at France 24. The Belgians have arrived. All right, let's keep on a-going. So we've got some more news about the Armenian and Azerbaijan conflict going on. Azerbaijan and Armenia accused each other on Monday of attacking civilian areas and said the death toll is rising from the deadliest fighting in the South Caucasus for more than 25 years. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg added his voice to calls for an immediate end to the clashes over Nagorno-Karabakh, a mountain enclave that belongs to Azerbaijan under international law but is populated and governed by ethnic Armenians. But prospects for a ceasefire appeared remote after fighting intensified at the weekend, with hundreds killed in clashes involving artillery, tanks, and fighter planes since September 27th. Azerbaijan and Azer cities outside Nagorno-Karabakh had been struck, taking the fighting closer to territory from which pipelines carry Azeri gas and oil to Europe. In an interview show on Monday by Turkey's state broadcaster, Azeri President Ilham Aliyev said Armenia must withdraw its troops from Nagorno-Karabakh and surrounding Azeri territories for military action to stop. We don't have eyes on any other country's lands, but what is ours should be ours, he said, echoing comments he made in an address to the nation on Sunday. Aliyev has ignored a ceasefire appeal by the United States, Russia, and France, who have led mediation efforts in the intermittent conflict since the 90s. Last quote here. Turkey must definitely be in any upcoming peace process. A peace process will surely be started. Clashes cannot go on forever, so the sooner the better. That was from... it says he said, but I believe they're referencing all the way back up to the president, Ilham Aliyev, there. So... Oh, good. Toba's here. Greetings. I don't know if you heard, but I've got the Da Hung Pao today. Got that second steeping. It's the best one. All right. We're almost done with our world news, the world peace. This one is kind of a funny, ha-ha, but sad kind of thing. This is coming to us from the BBC. The health secretary has said a technical glitch that saw nearly 16,000 COVID-19 cases go unreported in England should never have happened. The error meant that although those who tested positive were told about their results, their close contacts weren't traced. By Monday afternoon, around half of those who tested positive had yet to be asked about their close contacts. Labour said the missing results were putting lives at risk. Experts advised that ideally contacts should be tracked down within 48 hours. The technical error, this is where it gets interesting, was caused by some Microsoft Excel data files exceeding the maximum size after they were sent from NHS Test and Trace to Public Health England. It meant 15,841 cases between September 25th and October 2nd were left out of the daily case figures. So, pretty funny. So it's very, very interesting. oh, man. And... So it's kind of wild. I don't know. I work spreadsheets and reading and writing output to Excel files a lot with a lot of the stuff I do. And so I definitely have run into this problem before. And It's unfortunate this happened with the NHS and the Public Health England. They said that the error itself was discovered on Friday night, has been fixed, and outstanding cases have been passed on to tracers by 0100 British time on Saturday. But Health Secretary Matt Hancock told MPs the incident as a whole had not yet been resolved, with only 51% of those whose positive results were caught up in the glitch now reached by contract tracers. So, this is a very interesting story, and I found it to be, I found it to be useful to me, but, you know, that's just, you know, like, my opinion, man. Let's see, I want to play a song for you. Shucks, I don't have the song I wanted to play, but you know what, that's what happens. Sometimes you don't put in all your CDs, and then you donate the CDs to charity, and you kind of are like, oh, well, whoops. Such is the way. Anyway, we're just going to go ahead and play another song then instead. We're going to play Everybody Wants to Rule the World, because we're going to talk about da-da-da-da-da. After this, we got domestic American news, and you know what that means? A whole lot of Trump talk, and you know what he wants.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. And this is it's powered by SDF. This is news to me. I'm Marcus, and coming up in 15 minutes, we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's going to be a clink-clonketing, magic, exciting show. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Definitely stick around, tune in, tune out everything else, tune into the radio. It's going to be fun. There should be some cool dudes. Oh man, let's keep on a rolling. Everyone wants to rule the world, right? Well, our fearless leader in the United States of America has Somehow this magic thing has happened. This mysterious disease is spreading throughout the White House really rapidly. It's pretty contagious, but who knows what it is? It's a mysterious disease. No one's heard of it. I'm only kidding. This is, COVID-19 is just tearing its way through the White House and everyone that Trump's been in contact with. So check it out. Here's our first story from Reuters. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McKinney said on Monday she tested positive COVID-19, while several U.S. media outlets reported that a number of other White House staff members also were confirmed to have been infected with the novel coronavirus. McKinney, in a statement days after President Trump announced he had COVID-19 last week, said she would begin quarantining at the White House Medical Unit and that the White House Medical Unit does not list any members of the press as close contacts. Moreover, I definitively had no knowledge of Hope Hicks' diagnosis prior to holding a White House press briefing on Thursday, McKinney said, referring to Trump's advisor. Positive test results were revealed last Thursday, hours before Trump announced he and his wife also contracted the virus. ABC News, CNN, and Bloomberg News separately reported that Chad Gilmartin, who works in the White House press office, also tested positive over the weekend for the highly contagious infectious disease. Bloomberg News also reported that White House communications aides Caroline Leavitt, as well as other mid-level staffers, had tested positive for COVID-19. White House Correspondents Association, in a statement, offered sympathy to McKinney and said it was not aware of any additional cases among journalists after three reporters tested positive last week, although some test results were still pending. So we strongly encourage our members to continue following CDC guidance on mask wearing and distancing, especially when at the White House, it wrote, referring to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yeah, so it's very interesting mix there. So we've got that from Reuters. I think we've got another source giving us another point of view on that. Let's see if we've got it pulled up still. Ah, yeah. The Guardian points out the similar story, but their take, White House grinds to a halt as Trump's press chief joins COVID-infected list. The top spokesman has announced she tested positive. With the pandemic surging, the economic foundering, and the election fast approaching, operations at White House appear to be grind to a halt, with senior staff complaining anonymously to reporters they had been kept in the dark about the president's condition and given no instructions about how to stay safe, as more than a dozen colleagues and recent visitors announced they had COVID-19. The state of Trump's health was muddled by mixed messages from his doctors and top aides, and by erratic moves by Trump himself, who left the hospital for a brief car raid on Sunday night, and on Monday morning cut loose a string of all-caps campaign-related tweets. Trump could be released from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, where he was admitted on Friday, as early as Monday, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows told reporters. Trump reportedly demanded to be released on Sunday, but was assuaged with the ride in an armored SUV to greet supporters outside the hospital. Citing an anonymous source, Vanity Fair magazine reported on Monday that Donald Trump Jr. was worried by his father's behavior and had sought help from his siblings in staging an intervention. So, this is going all over the place. Let's see. This article is a bit long, but it goes on to kind of look into the further odd behavior of our president, fearless leader in the United States. Oh, whoops, we missed a world news story. This is coming to us from France 24. Sorry for the mistake. Oh yeah, Mali is frees over 100 jailed jihadists in effort to win release of two hostages. So this is something probably not going to make it on the front page everywhere, but this world GNU. Mali has freed more than 100 suspected or convicted jihadists as part of negotiations for the release of a prominent Malian official and a kidnapped French charity worker, sources close to the talks told AFP on Monday. As part of the negotiation to obtain release of Somalia Cisse and Sophie Petronin, more than 100 jihadist prisoners were released this weekend. One of those in charge of the negotiations, who asked not to be named, told AFP. An official at the security services confirmed the information, according to the AFP. The prisoners were released in the central region of Niono and in Tessalit in the north after arriving by plane. A lawmaker in Tessalit, who also requested anonymity, confirmed to AFP that large numbers of jihadist prisoners arrived there on Sunday. So, This is interesting. Mali, supported by France and UN peacekeepers, is struggling with an 8-year-old Islamic insurgency that has claimed thousands of lives. A military junta overthrew President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita in August before taking over leadership of the West African nation. So, a lot of stuff going on in Mali. I hope that they get over that soon. Fingers crossed. Oh, man. So much going on. You know, it's good that it's Monday because, you know, we'll be able to kind of recover from the week. We've got about 9 minutes, a little under 9 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee. It's going to be I'm just excited about it. Sorry. All right. So check it out. Here's the BBC's live summary of the Trump stuff, because I know I read those longer stories and it gets a little muddly in the head. So here's the summary. Doctors treating President Trump will give an update on his condition shortly. So sometime today. Trump said he will leave the hospital later on Monday, 4 days after being admitted. In a tweet, he said he was feeling really good and added, "Don't be afraid of COVID." Questions remain about the seriousness of the president's illness after conflicting statements. In the UK, we covered that. UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak has said he will always balance the books as coronavirus costs rise. This is good. This is some extra news. All the bars in the French capital, Paris, will shut from Tuesday as the city's coronavirus alert is raised to maximum. And there have now been more than 35.1 million COVID-19 cases, causing more than 1 million deaths, according to Johns Hopkins. So, Mali, yeah. Sorry, I might be saying that a little. I'm from Texas, and so my mouth is lazy when I talk. Before we get into anything too much heavier, we got to be sure and keep it light. So let's talk about the murder hornets. Yeah, the murder hornets are back in the news. Thanks to The Guardian, officials in Washington State are conducting a frantic search for a nest containing Asian giant hornets, also known as murder hornets, before the creatures enter what is known as their slaughter phase. 6 hornets have been sighted or trapped near the city of Blaine in the past 2 weeks, prompting authorities to launch a hunt before the hornets embark upon a murderous rampage among honeybees. Asian giant hornets, this time of year, start going into what we call the slaughter phase, said Sven Erik Spricker, an entomologist at the Washington State Department of Agriculture. In this phase, the hornets launch attacks on honeybee colonies, decapitating workers and dividing up their bodies as food for their young. The prospect is worrisome for farmers who rely on bees to pollinate key crops, such as blueberries and raspberries. The Asian giant hornet, called the murder hornet due to its ferocious reputation, was spotted in North America for the first time last year, first appearing in British Columbia and Canada, before spreading across the border into Washington State. It is likely the hornets arrived from Eastern Asia via shipping or aircraft container. So, Washington State officials managed to trap a live hornet for the first time on September 30th. However, an attempt to glue a tracker to the insect to lead investigators to the nest failed after the glue instead gummed up the hornet's wings. Poor hornet. He did not survive. All right. So, let's keep on rolling. That was a little break in That's What She Deserves. We've got another Guardian story. Supreme Court rejects appeal from clerk who refused to register gay marriage. So the U.S. Supreme Court said on Monday it would leave in place a decision that allowed a lawsuit to move forward against Kentucky clerk who was jailed in 2015 after refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Justice Clarence Thomas, however, wrote for himself and Justice Samuel Alito that while he agreed with the decision not to hear the case, it was a stark reminder of the consequences of the court's 2015 decision, which made same-sex marriage legal. Because of that decision, he wrote, those with sincerely held religious beliefs concerning marriage will find it increasingly difficult to participate in society without running afoul of the case and its effect on other anti-discrimination laws. Wow. You know, it's not really a big surprise, but just as from my point of view, I think that if you are working for the government, it doesn't matter what you think or how you feel about anything. You are an extension of the government. So act like it. And if you can't do that, go get another job. Come on. Don't be a baby about it. All right. Speaking about being a baby, Slate has an article. It's a little bit long, but here's the short part. Has Donald Trump's experience suffering from COVID-19 sobered him up and given him an increased appreciation for how serious the disease is and how critical it is that he, as the president, but also simply as a human being, take every possible precaution to prevent even one more American from contracting it? No. No. According to the New York Times' Maggie Haberman, Trump, who according to his personal doctor is still experiencing frequent up and down in the progression of his highly contagious illness, tried to get himself discharged on Sunday. Medical authorities said no, so he took a ride outside in a Chevy Suburban with other people inside it as a compromise. Haberman's report calls into question Trump's claim made in a video released Sunday that he learned a lot about COVID during his hospital stay. So, Jim Acosta's reports about why the president wants to be discharged. It's because he's feeling better and no longer presents a risk. It's not because he's feeling better. So the reasons he lists are President Trump was demanding to go back to the White House on Sunday. Two sources familiar told CNN. He is done with the hospital, one of the sources said of Trump's mood yesterday. And Trump is concerned the sight of him being hospitalized makes him look weak. So it's very interesting. But yeah, this story actually had the ha 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 in it, and it's at Slate.com. Now, we've only got about 2 minutes to go, so we'll just finish up with a couple of headlines. We're not living in North Korea. That's what a Fox News host said, which is a bit surprising since they're pretty much the propaganda arm of the state. Fox News's Kennedy called out President Donald Trump's doctor, Sean Conley, while on Outnumbered Monday, and labeled his briefings as propaganda for misleading Americans on the president's health. Conley repeatedly avoided telling reporters if the president was ever put on oxygen after he was diagnosed with coronavirus. Has he ever been put on supplemental oxygen, a reporter asked. Right now he's not on oxygen. I know you keep saying right now, the reporter pointed out, but should we read into that he has been previously? Yesterday and today he was not on oxygen, he said. He later contradicted himself during a Sunday briefing, during which he admitted Trump was on oxygen on Friday. I think it's really important to be straightforward with the American people. Pretty surprising. All right, let's go here. Supreme Court to open a new term while confirmation hearings continue. The Supreme Court is starting up a new term via teleconference. On Saturday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said High Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings will continue on October 12th. Of course, lots of senators, GOP senators specifically, that were at that nomination ceremony are coming down with COVID, so that might be a bit of a problem. What else? A leaked FBI report from the World Socialist website. Leaked FBI report warns of far-right boogaloo violence in advance of election. So check out WSWS.org for that story. In These Times has an article that kind of goes in depth about warehouse workers who at the Amazon distribution center trying to get better working conditions. And then The Advocate had a story about a trans nursing student, Michelle Ramos Vargas, who was shot and killed. But we're out of time, so please stay tuned for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
7, 6.